love that. It'd be great if our bosses felt the same way. Jeez. Oh, my God. Takes him out of a game in the seventh inning with 17 strikeouts, and the next day, I love the man. I love him. Time right now for us to talk to that man. It is Alex Cora. He's brought to you by Arbella Insurance and Cumberland Farms, the official coffee of the Red Sox Radio Network. So I'll ask you the dumb question right out of the gate, because he was joking about it, obviously, and he gave you the sign of 20 as you were walking down the ramp in the dugout. Did you think at all about bringing him back out in the A's?
Not after the home run. I think to go out there on a high leverage situation, it's a lot different 3-0 than 3-2. Mm-hmm. Just to go out there and looking for tickets, like he calls it, you know. he wants a bunch of tickets in the eighth. So 108 pitches coming from the one in Baltimore, although he had an extra day, knowing that he's pitching Sunday and he's pitching Friday against the best offense in baseball, so he's not going to be that easy.
Plus, you know, you've been bringing him along slowly for a specific purpose, right?
Yes,
to extend and the season.
Be disciplined. You know, we got to be disciplined. You know, it's funny because obviously people are going to think, yeah, he should have gone, history and all that, but those are the same people that in August and September, if he's not pitching, then it's my fault because he burned 108 and 125 pitches.
Would be killing you.
How often are you talked out of a decision that you make? How often does that happen? Does it have to be?
It happens.
Is it personality-based, situational?
There was one, and I think that's when he turned a corner against the Tigers. You know, he gave up 4 in the first 2 innings, and he had 100-something pitches in the 6. And when he was coming into the dugout, he's like, give me one more. I got it. And I'm like, are you sure? And he's like, yeah, I got something to prove here. And he went 7. And then after that, he went 6. He went 8. He went 7. So there was something about that start against the Tigers that, you know, he felt that, I need to go out there. But yesterday, when he was coming in, he wasn't like, give me one more. You know, I gave him a hug, and he was fine. That was amazing. That was fun to watch. There was at one point in the game, I think it was Arenado. He got he popped up to third base on 3 pitches, and I was like, that's good, because you start looking at the pitch count and the strikeouts and the innings, and the pitch count was getting up there, and I wanted him to go as far as possible. So it was a fun night, but it's not an easy one, because you know where he's at and history of the game, but at the same time, we have to take care of this guy. You know, for us to do what we set to accomplish, he needs to be healthy, and this is part of it.
You know, I know people always talk about, you know, well, what's he going to be like in September? I'm like, well, I don't know. Let's see what happens in September. But to me, the best feeling about it is that I would say since August 1st of last year, I wasn't sure, you know, what was going to happen with him. I wasn't sure if I was going to see that again. And we've seen it really the last 3 outings. So is this, I guess the question would be more of the beginning of the season, was it just building up strength to get to where he is right now? Because right now he's looking as sharp as he ever has.
Honestly, Lou, if you look at the games, I know the stuff wasn't great, but last year at the same time, the stuff wasn't great, but he was able to command. You know, he was able to throw the fastball wherever he wanted to. He was able to go 6-7 innings because he was able to command his stuff early in the season against Seattle. There were some pitches up in the zone. They hit home runs. He pitched okay. He pitched great in Oakland.
Yeah.
6 innings, 1 run. The one against the Yankees, erratic in the zone. The one against the Blue Jays here, it was bad, but it wasn't bad. You know, a lot of singles. You know, it was kind of weird the first 5 or 6 starts for him. But the stuff wasn't as crisp as now. I think location-wise, that's the difference. You know, he hasn't walked a guy in the last 2, you know, early in the season. Lefties were hitting him, and he was walking guys. And he's not that guy. You know, if he's going to get hit, he'll get hit in the zone. Like in New York. In New York, he got hit because he left pitches up in the zone. That was about it.
So let me ask you, because I'm looking at your team right now, and I see last night. So it is, you know, you go into the game, you got Mitch Moreland, you got a platoon situation there, you got Sandy and Vasquez, and you got Jackie. I'm sure you don't want an 8-man bullpen all year long. You'd probably like to have that extra guy, but is it twofold? One of, you got to get a 4th starter back first, or do you have to get a body healthy? Or, you know what I mean? So it's not like someone's banging on the door.
All of the above.
Right, but I mean, I'm just saying, because 8-man bullpen, I don't know if you thought you'd have one this long into the season, because that bench is limiting you.
I mean, I think against lefties, we feel a little bit limited, you know, And because we have guys that usually they perform against lefties, and they're not doing that.
Yeah.
You know, Pierce, Eduardo, although he didn't hit lefties last year, but he'll put a quality at bat. And that's where we are right now. It looks worse against lefties because Mookie right now against lefties, he hasn't performed. You know, he's hitting under 200. He only has three walks, all intentional, so he's not getting on base. But, you know, when you have Mitch off the bench, when there's a lefty on the mound, well, it helps you out. Christian is swinging the bat well, so we're good in that aspect. Jackie yesterday, I think he's controlling the zone a little bit more, seven walks in the last week. So it is where he is. We know we have that bullpen game or Hector and the rest of them. So where we at right now, we're comfortable with it. The days off kind of like help us out here and there. But is it a perfect roster? Not yet, you know, but it's getting close to where we want to be.
You know, you talk about as far as starting pitchers, Eduardo Rodriguez. Okay, here's the guy that's last six games he's got it's 4-0, 2.78 ERA, and we're talking these going into the sixth inning. So is this, and you guys have been coaching him hard, you've been critical of him, he's always had high expectations. Are you seeing the fruits of your labor right here? The tough love that you've been putting on him.
I would love to get credit, but it's about him understanding that he can get people out in the strike zone. You know, there's guys that have to pitch in the edge of the strike zone. He can get away with mistakes. You know, his changeup is that good. His fastball against righties up and away is that good, and he doesn't have to nibble. You know, 0-2. Attack the guy, you know, there's a quick out, you know, and he's been doing that. I think his changeup usage in the last one was great, and the location of the changeup was in a great place that he was able to induce these guys to weak contact early in the count, and that's what is going to make you to go six, seven innings, and he's understanding that. And I think him watching David and Chris, and not the stuff, the way they attack hitters, the way they attack the strike zone, He's understanding that, yeah, my stuff is different than their stuff, but it's good. And I can get people out in the zone, and he's been doing that good the last two or three.
Michael Chavis is getting some big hits for you, and he's hitting some towering balls. I don't know if that was fair last night. Did you think it was fair from the dugout?
I lost it right away, so yeah, I was like, please call it fair. Good. And he did. I was like, okay.
Well, the good news is the umpires didn't see it either. So that's why he didn't. That was perfect for you. I remember the week before he came up here, I think Lou asked you the question and said,
it was on that off day in Tampa.
The
day before he got called up.
Right. Is this kid?
It was in Mexico.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Christian was Fourier Mexico. Was gone. I like the way you keep notes on where all of us are.
We think Sean McVay has a good memory. This guy's got a better memory than Sean
McVay. I
got
to give it to you. So you said at the time when Lou was asking you whether he was ready for the big leagues because you might need him. We were looking at the Pedroia situation. You said he is at the plate. I'm not sure he is in the field yet. In the field, he's looked okay here. So you tell me, what's the difference of watching him now versus what you saw in the spring when you did not think he was defensively ready?
Yeah, well, he didn't play that much at second, first of all, in spring training. And it's a different angle. He's used to the third base angle. He's signed as a shortstop. So he didn't have too many he didn't have repetitions. And I still remember the first ground ball they hit to him. I think we were in the road, and he rushed into it. The runner's coming. He bubbles it and is an error. And then the other day, same play to end the game. He slows down, catches it, throws to first. So he's learning at the big league level, but he has good footwork. He got good hands. And we're putting him in spots that, you know, hopefully the ball is going to be put in play in that spot. We don't expect him to be a Robbie Alomar, kind of like diving and making great plays, but make the routine play, and he's learning. The next step, I think, is the double play. He turned a good one 3 or 4 days ago. He got his right foot down quick, and he threw it when we were in, where was it? I forgot. Whatever. He got hit on a double play because he kind of like shuffled into the runner, and he threw the ball away. Chicago. It was against the White Sox. It was an error. So he's a work in progress, but he's good, man. You know, his baseball IQ is great, and he's willing to learn and, you know, so far so good at second base. We're very pleased with the way he's been playing the position.
Yeah, I see it last night. I mean, it's almost like if you make a mistake in a half, he makes you pay. Right? And he's got a good idea of the zone. Like that slider, it was like, man, if he throws him another one down and away, this could be a tough one. But he left it in her half, and he made him pay for it.
Yeah.
He doesn't miss mistakes.
And the thing, Lou, he understands his moves. You know, he's a guy that he works, you know, on a daily basis. He understands what he wants to do. When he's hitting the ball, you know, on the ground too much, well, he has his own drills to get back to hit the ball in the air. He controls the strike zone. That's the most important thing. And that's a topic with all our hitters right now. You know, Rafi Devers, everybody's talking about his home runs. You know, he only has three, but hey, man, what he's doing right now is controlling the zone and getting his walks and hitting the ball the other way. And if we do that as a unit, we're gonna be a lot better offensively. And we are pretty good right now. If you look at the numbers, we're like top three in on-base percentage, run scores, and all that. And I don't feel we haven't clicked offensively. So yeah. we're very close to that, and when we do that, it's going to be fun.
I was wondering last night when Rafi went oppo and hit that bomb. I think it was the first one since May of last year. Are you still getting him free ice cream if he does that?
No. It was actually it was a Mexican restaurant night. The gift cards. Yeah. No. We don't do that.
You got this.
We don't do that. We can't get him heavy anymore.
22 years old.
Looks good right now.
He looks great, huh?
And I don't know what he does, but he hits his head. He did it about 10 times last night. But he's 22 years old, leading the American League in hitting right now.
Yeah.
Is it just controlling the strike zone for him?
Yes. And when he's using his hands and not trying to do too much. He can hit line drives everywhere. You know, he's been pulling the ball over the first baseman with authority, and now he's hitting the ball up the middle. Yesterday, he hit the ball in the air to left field. And as you know, hopefully summer comes here in Boston. You know?
August, wait.
Yeah, in August. Well, in August, you know, he'll hit a few fly balls, and they're going to go out of the ballpark. And it's been fun to watch. It really is. You know, we challenged him to hit third early in the season. We made some adjustments. I think he found a place in the lineup, you know, right after Xander. And he's doing a good job. And we're very proud. You know, even defensively, you know, the last week and a half, you know, he's been working on it. And yesterday there was a ground ball, a slow grounder that he charged, and he actually caught it on the left side instead of like right in between his legs, you know. And now he's getting it, and he's playing at an all-star level, you know, right now. He's doing an outstanding job, and he's only 22.
Yeah.
So updates on two guys, Pedroia first, and then Price, if you could.
David is going to throw a bullpen on Friday, so most likely he's going to start in Toronto. That's the goal, you know. And with Dustin, he's going to work out again today. We got early work today. He's going to hit, move around. And hopefully, if everything goes well, send him on Friday or Saturday to start his new rehab assignment.
So I know you're always accountable, and I know when you were a player, you wanted your teammates accountable. And I wasn't down there after. I just saw a couple beat reporters, because these two guys have really been very good for you all year, Workman and Brazier. And apparently they weren't around to talk to the media. Is that, or they didn't make themselves available?
I didn't know about that.
Do you address that with them at all, or when?
I talk to them. That's something that I want from my players. You know, be responsible, genuine, and transparent. You know, and when you do good, you know, hey, but you talk about it, and when you're not that good, well, you should talk about it. So
Workman last night, 94. You know, and probably the best fastball we've seen in a while. Did that affect the overthrows, a couple curveballs?
No, one thing for sure, as you know, teams are going to make adjustments, you know, and everybody's been talking about the breaking ball. He's been great so far during the season. So 2-0 breaking ball to Blackburn, and he stayed back, and he put a good swing on it. So we might have to, you know, be more aggressive with the breaking ball the upcoming days, you know, because we're going to face teams that they're doing their homework, and they're going to make adjustments.
All right, here's the Cumberland Farms question of the week for Alex. It was submitted by Joshua Pransky from Stoughton, Massachusetts. That's a good one. I'm surprised.
You sound shocked.
I am a little bit. Which player in the Red Sox right now do you think is the most overlooked in terms of their contribution this year?
Rafael Devers. You know, people don't understand how much
it's a quick answer,
he means to our lineup. You know, it creates balance. It's a quality at bat. His on-base percentage against righties is over 400. He's actually handling lefties pretty well. And for a kid that is only 22 years old, and we're asking a lot of him, you know, not only defensively but offensively too, he's been amazing to us.
You know what is amazing, though, that people have been critical of him, and he was on track for 108 errors or whatever the hell it was. But you really can't take him out of the lineup, can you? Because now you not only do you need him at the plate, but how about his confidence level? People forget he's 22.
Yeah.
And it's really the routine plays that he's messing up right now. He makes the dramatic ones.
And he's been getting better. You know, this guy, he has good footwork, good arm, good instincts. It's just a matter of being more consistent in a routine play. And when that happens, we're going to have an all-star caliber third baseman.
Unbelievable. There's your Cumberland Farms question of the week, brought to you by Cumberland Farms Farmhouse Blend Iced Coffee. Go to weei.com/manager to submit your question for us to ask Alex Cora every week. One other thing before we let you go. We had been asking what you're going to do with all of those pictures, the wall of wins that you had out here down the hallway. And apparently you have donated them to the Jimmy Fund
for part of our Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon that we do every August with NESN. And we're hoping there are 119 photos. They're all framed. They're all signed, correct?
Most of them, yeah.
Most of them are signed. This is an unbelievable opportunity. Did you know, by the way, they had it appraised? Do you know it's worth $300,000?
I didn't know that.
I know. You still want to give it up now?
I know it's worth a ring and a good playoff chair.
So you're kind of like you're kind of like an artist. You put this thing together, and it's worth that kind of value.
Wow. Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I thought about it. I think obviously this team means a lot to the city and the Jimmy Fund, and means a lot to us and everybody that has been a part of our organization and all others here in the city. And I was like, you know what, why not use it for this and use it for the right cause?
It is perfect. And I know an individual probably it doesn't have the room unless you have a gigantic house to put the whole thing. But oh, you do.
You do. You do. Yeah.
I'm downsizing.
He's selling his house.
Downsizing.
Sorry. You should add this to your house.
Yeah. So how about but how about this? How about a business? How about one of these casinos? How about Encore over here? Wouldn't that be something special if you had a Red Sox?
Maybe a Jordan's themed furniture.
Area?
Or
Jordan's furniture
like
would be perfect. I mean, a business, it would be absolutely perfect. It's like a museum piece.
It would be nice. Yeah.
And 119 of them, and it led to a World Series victory.
Beautiful.
Or what did Trump call it? What do they call it in the White House? A World Cup
World Cup Series champs.
And they changed the spelling of Red Sox, by the way. By the way, next time you send guys to the White House, and I know that nothing really happened. It was 10 minutes. It was fine. Your players are all good. Send them the averages beforehand so that Steve Pierce doesn't get embarrassed. Okay, with the president, can you do that?
Leave that alone.
You don't have an answer.
We'll bring the stacks next year.
All right, good seeing you, Alex.
See you guys.
Next week. Alex Kaur right here on OMF.